Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
Has Jesus ruined the winter solstice? Well, today we're going to be asking that and a lot more as we're starting the 2025 Christmas drive-in series. We know we do drive-in a few times a year. Our Christmas ones, you know, have had different themes in the past as classics, 50-year-old movies or older. We've had animated Christmas year. This year we're doing TV specials. So the drive-in is each week doing a double feature. That's the part I don't think everybody knew. To fill out our time. So you guys voted on Facebook which topics we're doing today. We are starting off the drive-in discussing a very supernatural Christmas from the show Supernatural. I'm Joshua Noel. I'm here with the one and only Christian Ashley, leader of the rebellion against me. I am on his side. I hope he takes me down.
One day.
Yeah. All right. Ready to jump in. Because, you know, we don't have a lot of time. This is like the drive-in special at the end. You guys want to sit, enjoy the movie. You don't want to just like hear us talk about the movie. Well, wait a minute. That's all this. Okay. So, Christian, we sat there. We watched a double feature. We don't know what the other film was yet, but we watched A Very Supernatural Christmas at the drive-in. As soon as it ends, we're in the car together. You're looking over to me. What's the first thing you say after this Christmas special airs?
You know what? Man, that was fun. I got to see, you know, it's not really like an anti-Christmas episode, but it's like a way of deconstructing something while at the same time reconstructing like why we enjoy Christmas specials, why we enjoy that time of year and stuff like that, but also the terrible things that exist in the world, especially in the world of Supernatural.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm just laughing. I might like look over at you and be like, oh no, I think I'd be struggling to find what to say. I'd just be chuckling. I might have told you I can't wait to make my little brother watch this. It depends when we went. When I first watched it, I was in college and my brother was like not old enough yet to, you know, to be considered an adult. And I was like, ah, this will be great. Because I've, full disclosure, I've never been a huge fan of Christmas. I mean, when I was a kid, probably, because I liked presents. But then like once I got older and I was like, oh, wait, this is the time of year I have to travel everywhere in America in a month somehow and also have to pay all these extra things. I'm like, ah, this isn't great. That's just my take. Sorry. You know, I'm Josh with bad opinions. It's not my favorite hobby.
Humbug.
Yeah, bah humbug. Does the Grinch have a saying?
I don't know. It's got plenty of songs about him.
Yeah, that's me. But I mean, not really. I don't dislike it. It's not my favorite. But I was waiting for my brother to be like, hey, Josh, I want to watch a Christmas movie, a Christmas special. And I was like, great. As soon as I had seen this, I had waited for the moment that he said that. So I'd be like, I have a perfect Christmas show for us. And what's crazy is I was expected to be like, what the heck did you just make me watch? Or to be like scared or to like I was doing it to mess with him. And it turned into him going, let's watch all of this. And then we did, which was great. Yeah. Oh, so Christian, for those who don't know, what is Supernatural and what's going on in the show at the point that this episode comes out? Because I think it's important for context. That's a problem with just watching Christmas specials. Some context is needed.
Yeah. Other than some things brought up about earlier events, this is pretty standalone to an extent. I think they do a well enough job there. But overall, Supernatural is a story of two brothers, Sam and Dean, and their journey originally to find their father, who was known as a hunter, someone who killed mythical, well, not so mythical creatures that caused problems around the world, your vampires, your werewolves, your demons, so on and so forth. And they find through a lot of machinations that there is this yellow-eyed demon that we find his name is Azazel, who has been messing with children over the years to imbue them with supernatural abilities for some goal. And they've managed to kill him. Their dad is dead. But as a result of what has happened, Sam had died. Dean, if I'm remembering correctly, had made a deal with the Crossroads demon to bring Sam back to life, which means he only has 1 year left to live, which is very weird because there's, what, 12 more seasons of the show. And through the process of this, they're still doing their jobs. They're trying to figure out what's going on with what Hell wants to do, with what they're able to do to fight it, with this the cult gun that they have that's actually able to kill demons and higher beings like that. And they're also dealing out of universe with the writer's strike, which is why season 3 isn't as tight as it could be at times. But you know what? That is what it is. So they're just doing their job.
I do also, I want to just like quick little side note. One of the things I liked about Supernatural is also something a lot of people complain about, is that people always come back from the dead. But the having the whole afterlife system allows there to be real stakes. Like watching this season, even knowing that there's 14 more, you're still not sure that Dean's, if he's going to die or not. Like, he could actually die at the end of the season because it's a wacky, fun world. I say fun. Creepy? You know, it's quirky.
Entertaining.
I think it's fun, but dark fun.
Yes.
The one thing that is interesting going into this is in this season, at this point, Sam is trying everything. He's like, we're going to kill the demon who made the deal and that'll break the deal. We're going to do, like, he's trying everything. And Dean's like, I'm going to die. And he's just looking at it. He's accepted it. It's kind of like that finitude thing that we talk about sometimes, existential crisis, etc. And when this episode starts, what Christian's about to get into, Dean's like, I want one more Christmas. He's like, I actually do want this. And Sam's like, who cares about this? We got to save you. We got to do this whole thing with the demon. And Dean's like, dude, I'm going to die. Let's just one more Christmas. Okay. And I think that actually is a fun, like, if you do know the show so far, like that context really helps. But anyway.
Yeah. So we start off with a little bit of a cold open where the grandfather has gone to his grandchild's house. He's dressing up as Santa to deliver gifts. And he hears something like messing around in the chimney, goes to investigate it. The grandchild has come to go witness him, sees him as Santa, but oh no, he gets taken through the roof, horribly mangled and dies. And we get supernatural opening. Sam and Dean are going to the town investigating these murders, pretending to be FBI agents. This happened several times over in this town of Michigan that they're in, which is unseasonably warm at this time of year. And through the process, they go down a false lead, end up figuring out that all these houses had a wreath inside of it. And all the houses that have this wreath inside it, they're the ones that end up being attacked by this figure who is dressed up in a Santa Claus kind of way. So they mistakenly think that this, oh, it's got to be someone like Krampus or Black Peter or the Sackman or something like that. I don't think they say the Sackman, but that's another one from mythology. And they go there under depression. Nope, it's this nice couple, older couple who just seem like the perfect 50s kind of couple. And they're actually old pagan gods who don't get named. They have like human names, but their actual names aren't shown to us. We don't know like which pantheon they come from. But the point is, they used to get human sacrifices every year. People used to worship them. Now Jesus came on the scene and ruined it for everyone else. And people aren't dying as much as they used to. So they, in their own way, to protect towns and give them like better weather and stuff like that, people will be sacrificed to them, whether they recognize it or not. And Sam and Dean eventually have to fight their way out of them, kill the pagan gods. And the whole time we also have flashbacks where Sam and Dean, when they were younger, Sam is trying to figure out what his dad's about because he's hiding it from him. And he's learned that their dad is a hunter, that these legendary beings exist. And Dean is trying to give him a good Christmas because one of the things that Thomas Chester would do is he wouldn't always be there for his sons because he would constantly be on the job. And they're feeling the lack of that, but they have a nice little Christmas between them in the past and in the present.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it does help with some of the context. It's, I don't know, Christmas wise, it might be relatable to some people. Like from Sam's perspective, that's when he first found out that his dad had been lying to him and hunting monsters, all this stuff. And he's like, I don't know if I love Christmas. And Dean's perspective is he had always done everything to make a good Christmas for Sam. And that's why it's actually meaningful to him, not because he had a good Christmas, but because he had always tried to make it something special. Which again, I just love Dean and Sam sucks, but that's besides what, well, sometimes Sam.
Oh.
Well, Sam is just not my favorite. Like Dean, Cass, Crowley, I love them, but okay. We'll move on.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the things it really focuses in on here, and I can't tell how much it's trying to poke fun or if it's actually just doesn't understand the lore or like, I don't know what's going on, is because also Supernatural very rarely mentions Jesus. This is like one of the only times I can think of.
Yes.
Because it doesn't want to touch, is Jesus God or not? And even here, they don't mention if he is in any way related to God. They just don't bring that up.
And to their credit, too, I mean, the idea is that they want to be a little careful about this idea of, you know, talking about Jesus as divinity. It's one thing to say about God as divine, because like by the very nature of God being God, divine. But then you bring Jesus to the equation, that raises questions. They don't want to do it too much, not to offend audiences.
I think half of that is they don't want to offend people who actually believe in Jesus. And I think half of it is actually adding Jesus really complicates the message they try to do in this show of like free will and not a controlling, overbearing God, whatever. If you bring Jesus into it, it's all of a sudden hard to paint the picture of that God who's just strict, overbearing, whatever, because that Jesus is the God who stepped into the story. And it's kind of like, yeah, that just makes their, I'm not sure they're, something Christian would probably like to hear me say. I'm not sure they're good enough writers to make that work if they had to avoid Jesus.
I doubt it.
Anyway, so they talk a lot about like this whole pagan thing. And I can't tell if they just don't know the lore or if they're trying to poke fun. Because you always have this time of year. I get aggravated at other Christians who are actually Grinches and Scrooges and are like, no, this is pagan. You can't celebrate Christmas. And then they start throwing stuff out. And then you have the other Christians who are like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's about this and this. And then you have the Christians who are like, you can't do Santa Claus. It's because it's about Jesus. And then you just get a lot of really annoying misinformation and stuff around this time of year in Christian circles that I happen to be really plugged into, which maybe is also part of why I'm like, this isn't my favorite, because I'm really tired of hearing people talk about this. So let me throw out some of the stuff that they call pagan in Supernatural. Just incorrect. Also, when you get some of those people who are taking like old historical record and trying to say this is pagan or this is pagan and this is how whatever, when you read those old documents, remember in the old documents, especially if it's coming from Rome, Christians are the ones that they're calling pagans. Christians are the ones they're calling atheists because you don't believe in the gods. Pagan just means not mainstream religion, which Christianity was not at that point. So the Roman gods weren't the pagan gods. When you read those old documents, they were just the gods. That's just a little side, I'm a grump note. But when you go through a lot of your Christmas lore, Christmas trees, that was just a pastor using an illustration at some point, like forever ago, of how evergreen trees represent eternal life in Christ. Wreaths were a common thing in Rome and Greece. They weren't necessarily religious. They were just around. It was just a thing that people did. So it was natural for the church to then say, hey, here's this thing that's already here. Let's use it as a symbol and talk about, just like we do with our wedding bands, the circle representing no beginning, no end. And then lights came from actually German Christians putting candles in a thing to represent Christ being the light of the world. And some of the stuff coincides with paganism. Most of the stuff that people call pagan actually did just start from the church, though. Isn't actually pagan. But that's just my like little rant for the day. Old man grouch.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Better you than me.
All right. We summarized the episode a little bit. I want you to give me two highs and two low points of the episode. Like, what if you had to pick like a couple favorites, I could have done without that.
I want to throw the confrontation with the pagan gods in there of like what their motivation is. Yeah, there's the villain stupidity of leaving them alive when they could just kill them, you know, because they're our main characters. He has to survive. That's its own thing. But like actually showing why they do what they do, how hard it is to take them down, the specific way it has to be done, and how just nice and cheerful they are. Because it's always nice to have a villain who's just so affable and like, yeah, I'll kill you because I need to do this thing. No personal feelings in the matter. And I'll also throw like, cause this could easily be one of those terrible Hallmark moments of why do you hate Christmas? Blah, blah, blah. Well, it's because of my terrible backstory, but no, it is because of the terrible backstory. And they utilize that to further the two characters of Sam and Dean, showing how Dean always tried to make a good Christmas for Sam. He was always looking out for him. He was rough in a big brother kind of fashion, especially one who has been abused himself in ways that like, John never like beat them to a bloody pulp or anything, but he wasn't present as much as he should be. And he should definitely use a little more violence than he should have on him. But they were looking out for each other. And this means something now, especially since, as far as they're aware, Dean's gone in a year. So let's have this one final Christmas together. And they don't make it sappy like, hey, I'm glad we're having this together. They just like look at each other. I'm like, they don't need to say it out loud.
I was just agreeing with you. I was going to say, one of the show things the show does in general that I just like, it reminds me of C.S. Lewis when he talks about the four loves. He talks about like friendship and stuff. He says like, there's a lot of times you get to a point in like real relationships, you don't actually need the word sorry. Sometimes it's helpful, it's good. But sometimes the real apology comes in something simple, like, you know, still giving each other that handshake that you always do, or, you know, like something that's like, oh, hey, okay, we're still good because he did this thing that we always do. And I think like for Sam and Dean, sometimes, weirdly enough, it's when one of them goes jerk and the other one turns back and says, bit, you know, I don't want to say the word family friendly drive in, but it's like there's
sis.
Yeah. Even this one, like at the end, it's like maybe it's not your stereotypical Christmas, but them sitting down and having a can of beer and giving themselves the worst presents ever, I think to them is probably more meaningful than if it was a giant tree and all the lights. And, you know, like for them, I think this was probably more meaningful.
But as far as the two low points are concerned, and let me preface this with, I don't hate the actors just because they're children, but the child actors aren't really the best. And I'm not going to be like, if I had been there, I would have done this differently because I'm not an actor. But I can also tell this is someone who, or maybe it was just an off day. They were just kind of new and getting things right. Maybe they weren't directed well. I don't know. It just didn't, like, the idea got to me, the acting didn't get to me for those flashback scenes. I'll put it that way. And then there's that one, the other one I'll throw out is not really a lot that I don't like about this one. It's one of their tighter episodes, is the scene when they're in the Santa's workshop kind of place and they're talking to the woman who's playing one of the elves there. And like, oh, so why are you here? And Sam says, oh, we just like to watch. It creates that awkward joke with like, that's like Sam of maybe season one. No, but that's what I'm saying. Sam in season one would have made that joke because he's not as used to like thinking on the fly and making up stuff for why they should be there. They should be like, he just said something, I don't know, like, oh, we're looking to buy this place or something like that. That didn't just create that cringy kind of humor for that moment.
Yeah. I mean, I think they just did that for the bit. That don't think it actually fit the character as well as I would like it to have at this point in the show. But
yeah.
So as you were saying, oh man, this is hard for the two high points. Really weird. I'm going to choose three really strange. Sorry, Christian always cheats. It's my turn. One, I actually love that the spike they had to use was from a certain type of evergreen tree. Like something about that. It was a really good way of tying in like Christmas lore and horror together. And I was like, that was nice. I really enjoyed when they were just listing off random, you know, Christmas villains it could be from the supernatural world. I was like, okay, that was fun. Just to kind of hear the lore, even if it was just for a second. Like, oh, that was nice. So those two counters we have. So that's one. My other high point, of course, is at the end when they're gifted each other. And I feel like, I think like Dean's gift was like a gas station apple pie. Or, you know, like it's like these like terrible gifts that I'm like, but to see it actually mean something to them, it brings my heart back to Thanksgiving. And I'm like, yeah, just being thankful, even if it's not like a huge gift, because it's not about what it is. It's not about the present. It's about just being thankful for who is around you. So those are my two high points. The low points. Low points are actually difficult for this one, I think. I'm going to go with Sam's attitude in the beginning, where he just is like, I don't want to do stuff. Because he just comes off so whiny and just irritates me. And I know that is the character, like that is what's supposed to be happening, but it still irritates me. And I have to pick two low points. So that's one of them.
Okay.
The other low point is actually something that irritated me. I think they did a really good job with the mystery of it and figuring out, oh, who is the real bad guy? But the fight was too easy. You're going to be either two gods and then two regular humans. And I know they've been doing it for a while, but I think that's generally my complaint when Supernatural does other gods is like the other gods are like a one-off episode. And I'm like, I just wish they were more powerful, you know?
I'll push back just a little bit because I think the idea is they're not as strong as they used to be. They're still stronger than regular people because they're not getting the worship and the blood sacrifices and everything that they used to. So they have to do it in themselves. Now, as opposed to what is it, season four, when all the other gods show up on the scene and Lucifer just kills them like so easily. That's when I get a little, okay, yeah. Some of the powerhouses you brought here, there's no way they went down that easy.
Yeah, like I'm okay with the angels being more powerful than the lowercase g.
So, yeah.
But like that much more powerful? Come on. But that's just because I had to pick low points. It's just, you know, it's not easy in this one.
That's fair.
All right. I do want to move on, since this is the Christmas drive-in, and it's just TV specials. I mentioned earlier, they all need to be double features to really fill out the block. So, Christian, what other TV special do you think should go with this one to fill out the full movie block at the drive-in?
Well, man, I'm going to be honest. I forgot this question existed.
I'm bad at pairing things up, especially when you open up the floodgates. It's like I'm crippled by choice right now. So go ahead.
I gotta look up the actual name of the episode. I think it is just The Snowman.
Yeah.
The Snowman, Doctor Who, Season 7, Episode 6. Not Doctor Who's best, but if you have to have like an episode before this, you don't want it to outshine this episode. If this is like the highlight of your drive-in experience. And that one's still kind of quirky. It's still a little bit scary, but also silly. So I'm like, I feel like it would go well. And I like Doctor Who.
Okay. This is for the sake of answering a question, because I don't remember if this is actually a Christmas episode and it's from a show that I'm not that big on anyways. But you know what? I'm going to answer the question. In the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, I think there was a Christmas episode where Nightmare was doing some stuff. And I think Doctor Strange was in it. I have to remember that. It's been so long since I watched it, and I wasn't that impressed with it to begin with. So I'm going to say that. And if I'm dead wrong, I'm dead wrong. You can laugh at me in the comments.
I like your answer still. All right. One more before we start wrapping this up, then. I want to go back to the whole pagan Jesus thing, because I think this actually does something interesting, at least for me. Since I'm in Christian circles a lot, I only hear this question of, well, why are we letting paganism filter our holiday? To hear it kind of flipped in this episode of like, man, Jesus really ruined our holiday. It was actually kind of interesting. It was kind of funny. So I think they did that just for the joke. But it's also kind of interesting to think, like, which way does it actually go? You know, like, because a lot of the times Christmas does ruin Hanukkah for some people, right? I don't want to prioritize holidays, but I do think it is an interesting question of, like, at what point are we propagating other cultures into Christmas so much that it is no longer Christmas? And to what point are we pushing Christmas on everyone so much that it's kind of ruining their, you know, whatever.
But yeah, Christian has the answers to all things. He's mastered the divine. He'll let us know.
Of course.
Well, first thing real quick, one thing that they do get really wrong in this show when it comes to pagan deities, and that's a very egregious in certain ways anyway, is that not every pagan god demanded blood sacrifice or human sacrifice of any kind. But it makes a monster scarier. It makes a god scarier if you say that. So that's why the show went with that. And some Christians are very wrong in saying that every pagan religion did this. Like, no. I mean, if you want to talk about Baal or Molech or any of the Aztec gods that required it, yeah, sure, we can talk about that. But like, Zeus wasn't requiring this of his servants. Mithras wasn't requiring it of his servants or anything like that. So moving on from there to actually answer the question, did Jesus ruin pagan celebration and pagan holidays? Yeah. Yes, he did. Because he overcame the reason for why they existed. Like, there's something to be said about why we celebrate these things. Yeah, why do we need to, some people say, co-opt and take over and destroy? It's like, you know, like, sure, this is syncretization of a good kind. Say, people are already celebrating something here. So God has commanded us to have holidays in the law back in the day, and he wants us to spend time with each other and hang out with each other. So why don't we use something pre-established? Yeah, Jesus probably wasn't born on December 25th, I hate to tell you, but we can say, since we don't know anyways, we'll just celebrate this one day as a kind of catch-all for the whole thing and then spend time with each other. And yeah, there's these Christmas trees that get used, wreaths, and drinking these drinks or eating this food or something that an earlier pagan group would have celebrated. Yeah, sure, but that's not what it's about anymore. It's become something new. It's been superseded by a desire to have community, a desire to recognize why we can celebrate. And that celebration is that a little baby was born who had no business becoming exactly what he became and then saved the entire world. Like, I can get behind that.
First, I want to say the old December 25th thing, a lot of people are like, want to attribute that to pagan stuff too. Especially they want to say it was like, oh, this was actually the birth of some other gods. Usually what they point to, look up the dates. The stuff that they're talking about usually happened after Christians started celebrating Christmas on December 25th anyway.
Or they were part of mystery cults that by their very nature were mysteries to the people outside of them. So very little was actually written about them.
Yeah.
A
lot of the stuff that people try to be like, oh, Christmas is pagan. It's just not true. That should be my next, like, I'll just do a random series of me complaining about stuff. But then, I want to be annoying with this question and kind of do a both and a little bit. I don't think Jesus ruined other pagan holidays necessarily. I think rather, and this was something I think the church used to be really good at that now kind of sucks at, in my opinion, where like a lot of Viking stuff did become part of Christmas, not because we took on the pagan gods and we were trying to take over their religion. Some of the stuff that pulled over was actually because they were converting to Christianity, but still had these parts of their culture that meant a lot to them. And they were like, what do I do with this? And the church said, okay, well, you can still do that, but now let's recontextualize it. And it was helping people hold on to their culture and still be Christian. It wasn't taking over their culture and making their culture turn into Christian. Sometimes it was, but a lot of the times it was the latter, especially when we go to Halloween, the Day of the Dead, Mexico, a lot of that stuff. It was the church already had a holiday for celebrating, the passing of the saints. We saw this good thing in Mexico. A lot of people were becoming Christians from this Latino culture, and they wanted to know, what do we do with this day that's still important to us? We don't want to worship false gods, but this is part of our culture. And the church came up with a really good answer to that. And I think it's important to distinguish between synchronism and contextualizing, especially when we're talking about mission field, evangelism, all that kind of stuff. And I think contextualizing is a really important thing that people need to be able to do, because it's important that we bring our culture with us, not leave it behind. We're not trying to force European white Christian culture on everybody. What we're trying to do is say Christianity is important, and let's bring in all the cultures into this for one united, diverse church. Of course, I'd be the one to say that.
It helps too that, just from an Anglo-Saxon kind of view, just the idea itself of hell as a term for the underworld, as it were, for where the bad people go at the end of the day. Yeah, the word hell is not in the Bible. What was there? Hades, which was Jesus speaking to the audiences around him to help them understand the concept of hell. This is what you think it is. Here's how I'm going to help you understand it. So that's when missionaries were going that way and intermingling with cultures there. They used the same thing. So if Jesus can get away with it, I think we can too, if we're careful.
Well, yeah. And again, get away with it. Not trying to synchronize. I actually like when Starbucks and stuff do things that just say happy holidays or a red cup to celebrate. Because you know what? I want my Jewish neighbors to have the right and ability to celebrate Hanukkah and to not feel like they have to celebrate Christmas everywhere they go. If they don't want to, that's cool. And I think some of that stuff is actually important, not just from a marketing standpoint, but just to be kind to your neighbor, not forcing your religion on them. But if they want to be Christian and they're like, well, what do I do with this Jewish heritage that I have? Cool, let's celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas together. But don't try to force it on people. I think that's my thing. I want to throw out Acts 17 to wrap this part of the conversation up. Paul goes to a place where there's all these statues of different gods and there's an unknown God. And he goes, cool, let me tell you about the unknown God. It's actually Jesus. And I think we can still do stuff like that. When it comes to the winter solstice, I don't know a lot about it. But when we see a celebration that happens in the darkest time of the year to remind us that there is still hope, it's kind of natural to put that with the story of God himself taking on flesh in the form of a baby in a manger in one of the darkest points of history under the rule of an oppressive empire and saying, hey, there's still hope. Those two things kind of pretty naturally fit together, actually. And I think it's an important message for us right now, especially in America. I feel like we're in a pretty dark time, kind of seeing a lot of oppression going on. And I'm thinking, hey, man, what a good time to remember that there's still hope in the form of a little baby in a manger born 2,000 years ago. That's great. Anything to add, Christian?
That's a fun episode. I mean, this isn't totally standalone, but there's enough there. If you just wanted to check it out, you'd be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As far as Supernatural goes, it's fantastic. They don't go heavy on the Jesus thing. They make fun of the pagan stuff, and they just kind of have fun with this one and remind you that Christmas isn't about the big lights, but it's about family. It's about family, Dean. Sammy, it's family. Okay.
Wow. It's like he's here with me right now. Thank you, Jensen.
Christian, if you were to design your own Christmas treat for the drive-in concession stand that's happening during this showing specifically, what design and what food would this be? We're at the drive-in.
Okay.
They have a special treat just for the showing.
I guess you'd already sharpened candy canes with an evergreen scent to them. So if a pagan god comes in the middle of the drive-thru, you're pre-prepared to take them out.
I like it. Yeah, I think you definitely need something that kind of has that evergreen thing to it. I'm going to go a little bit weirder. I'm going to go with a drink. I want there to be, why can't I think of what that's called? Mistletoe margaritas. That's what I think we need.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got like the mistletoe, you got a little bit of like the green garnish, so it like looks real Christmassy. It goes with like the pine green kind of color still. And you're like, and it's delicious.
And I think Dan want us to drink no matter what holiday.
And if you hold it up over two people, they have to kiss.
That's true. Cheer.
All right. Well, with that, I had a lot of fun. Hope you guys had a lot of fun. I hope you guys do check out A Very Supernatural Christmas. Even if you don't watch the show, it's a worthwhile episode on its own, like Christian said. Be sure you rate and review our show wherever you do listen. It helps us a lot. It only takes a couple seconds. Remember to check the show notes for the playlist of past Christmas drive-ins or past drive-ins. And soon we'll have a playlist of this Christmas drive-in of TV specials that you guys can follow as well. And remember that we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Howdy, guys. I really hate to interrupt, but my name's TJ, and I'm here to tell you about our new merch. We have incredible new stuff with Fourth Wall. We have just partnered with them as a new store. They have a lot more to offer, which means we have a lot more to offer. We can now offer you beautiful Comfort Colors t-shirts. They're so comfy. I wear mine all the time, and we've got it all now. Cups, hats, backpacks, pajamas. If you want your Systematic Geekology pajamas, you know where to go. My personal favorite is actually our Throne of Geeks shirt. It is Comfort Colors, you know, blue, black, green, red, orange. And the shirts are just so nice. And the shirt itself, we've got the Throne of Iron geeked out, because, you know, that's our brand. We've got Mjolnir on there, the Buster Sword, Trident. Basically, just the coolest weapons from our favorite properties are on the shirt, instead of a bunch of normal boring swords from the boring series Game of Thrones. So check that out. And thank you.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.